Synthaholics, it's the Star Trek Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, Aaron O'Brien. With me is the always favorite, always the crowd pleaser, always happy to talk about his opinions, David Duncan.
Thank you, Aaron.
David,
yeah, I feel like Henry Zebrowski, they always introduce him as a guest.
I know, he's a guest. Dave's not a guest. He's a founding member of Synthaholics. He was drunk on the floor when we came up with the idea.
Yeah, it was great. We were talking about doing a Star Trek comic. Birthing places of the podcast.
I am still toy with the idea. So if anybody wants to see a webcomic based on Star Trek, let us know.
And I re-downloaded a 3D program called Blender since I don't have access to Maya anymore. So it's like I kind of want to get back into the 3D modeling thing. I just haven't had a whole lot of time, but I downloaded it. So maybe I could start getting Star Trek references and start making those again.
Well, I like that. What era do you prefer, Dave? Do you prefer original series, the movie era?
My skills at rendering objects is probably going to be TOS era.
Gotcha.
They're simpler shapes. They're simpler to do.
Very square.
Very square. Very simple shapes with the 3D render. 3D rendering. I am not super good at it, and it's a brand new program. And it's not brand new. It's Blender. It's been around for forever. But I got used to using Maya, which I had for free with a student email address.
Oh, right.
That since has lapsed.
Yes.
I don't have
For many years.
Yes, I don't have access to the expensive program that I used to use. I've got to use it. I got to learn a new one from the ground up.
And
I'd love to do next gen era movie era, because I like the designs of the ships so much better.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool too. We could play around with that. People, just let us know. Is this something you would like to see? I had some ideas for story and characters. And it's kind of just put on the back burner. I mean, if you listen to the show regularly, you know that I draw comics. Return to Snake Land is my graphic novel. I have some other stuff that I've been working on as well.
Did you say that on the air last week about Return to Snake Land, or was that before we started, which was really cool?
No, I didn't. So, yeah, the cool thing, just a side note, and this is a humble brag, I'm actually very, very flattered.
Major props to Aaron. This is amazing. This is amazing, guys.
One of the universities here, they're teaching, there's a course called Graphic Novels as Literature, and my book, Return to Snake Land, is actually on the syllabus. It's just very humbling and flattering. I wouldn't think I, of all the different graphic novels that are out there that the teacher chose ours. I don't know who this person, I've never met this person. I don't even know who he or she is. So, it was cool. And the only reason I know is that the local comic shop, ordered 30 of our, graphic novels, because, you know, they need the students to come and buy it.
Yeah, it's very awesome. Very huge props. It's really a great accomplishment that someone picked you for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, no,
it's taught in school.
I can't believe it.
I wish I was being taught in school.
Maybe we should go to school together. It'll be like, what is it? The Will Ferrell movie. Anyways, yeah. So if you do want to hear any or see a webcomic in the future or something that seems interesting to you, just let us know. I've toyed around with this idea for quite a while, as Dave knows.
Longer than the podcast has been on the air.
Yeah, exactly. Just a couple things to get out of the way off the beginning. Obviously, you're listening to Synthetolics Podcast. Welcome to the show. We're very excited to have you listening. You can find us at Synthetolic Duel on Twitter. You can find the podcast at synthetolics.com. Also, you can join us on the groups page on Facebook. We have a great little community started up, so just look us up on Facebook, groups, and Synthetolics. And, of course, if you can possibly throw some money our way, you go to Patreon.com/Synthetolics and throw us a buck a month more if you can. It greatly helps keeps the lights on in the old podcasting shack.
You can also email us at synthetolics@yahoo.com, and any emails received may and could be used on a future episode.
Against you. All right. Well,
it's not blackmail. It's just letting the community know that the community does write to us and that we aren't speaking into the void.
That's true. And we do read emails if you give us your permission to read it on the episode or the upcoming episode. So this episode we are talking about the fan favorite or many fan favorites. We're going to be talking about the Next Generation episode Inner Light. We are still doing our Bacardi Breeze
Bacardi recap. Rum?
Bacardi Rum Breeze episodes. We are doing kind of like the standout episodes of Picard the last I don't know how many episodes we've done now, five or six.
Oh, I think it's more than that. I think I've lost count.
But we're in preparations for the new Picard show coming out hopefully January.
Are we going to start doing a Seven of Nine series next so we can chronicle Seven of Nine through
Data and Hugh?
Well, Hugh will be simple to do because he's in like all three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do a Hugh series.
It would be easy.
Although it would be fun to do some non-Star Trek stuff, and we are planning on doing Joker.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, we might be doing Joker. But, you know, so the thing is that we wanted to go back and look back on all of Picard episodes and kind of get psyched up, because we are psyched to see the new Picard series and see where his character, where we get introduced with him in the future, where he is now 20 years later, and also what's going to happen. So,
I rewatched the trailer for Picard today, and I still get chills when Seven of Nine and Data show up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm not crazy with Seven of Nine's line, "Oh, are you trying to save the world again?" But it's just cool seeing her, with the eyepiece and her hair, and she seems like more grasp on humanity than she's ever been before.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's great, and it's just oh, it's so cool.
So should we get into the episode, Dave?
Aye.
So the episode is Inner Light. This is season 5, episode 25, and first aired June 1st, 2029. Yes,
in the year 2000. In the year 2000.
So the Enterprise is doing some sensor sweep scan, and they find this unknown probe.
You doing some sensor sweeps? I'll do some sensor sweeps.
I got my sensor sweeps here. And while they go to investigate this probe, it starts emitting this low neutronic beam, and it basically takes Captain Picard out, and he faints. And then as Riker catches him, they call for medical assistance, but then Picard wakes up, and there's a woman and calling him Kamen.
Riker, when did you shave? And why are you calling me Kamen?
Yeah. That would be strange if it was Riker, but in a dress.
Should have been. It's like you know,
things that should have been.
Well, the thing is, Sisko, every time he gets sucked into the founders, or no, not the founders, the prophets.
Oh, prophecy.
Yeah, when they always manifest as people he knows. Everyone in this thing should have been his kid could have been Worf.
That'd be great. It's just a kid, but then they just kind of
transpose Worf's face onto it.
Yeah, badly put his face on top of it.
Kind of like space rubbers.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great, great. Rib for his, hers, or its pleasure.
Mm.
Well, when Picard gets there in this different world with this woman calling him Kamen, he thinks he's on a holodeck, and he goes, he's confused, but then he decides he's going to go around. First, he thinks he's like maybe held hostage or this, you know, being a Star Trek, being a citizen of the Star Trek universe, waking up in a strange place is probably pretty normal.
Am I a prisoner here?
Yes.
Your dick is a prisoner to me. I'm your wife.
So this is where he goes outside and meets a councilman, Batai. And who's Batai?
Pliers.
And he's also
the Wing Commander 4 game. I miss Pliers.
That's, you love calling him Pliers, but also he's a couple other things.
Yeah, he was like the dad, and was it Deuce Bigelow? Wasn't he Deuce Bigelow's dad? He sat in the bath. He was the bathroom attendant or something like that.
Right. Wasn't he in Office Space too?
Was he?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Was he the jump to conclusions guy?
Yeah, he's the guy who got hit by the car and he was going to
conclusions, man. Yeah, he tried to kill himself and then
he didn't try to kill himself. He just got hit by a car and then he could retire.
Yeah.
Because Pliers. Of settlement.
I love him. So he's a great actor.
So he's Batai, and so he talks to him for a moment and he's asked like, what planet am I on? And where
Maybe you should go to the doctor.
Maybe you should see a doctor. Maybe go talk to your wife.
He actually says you shouldn't go home if you don't remember who she is.
Yeah, exactly.
Might be safer for you.
Obviously they've known each other for quite a while.
Burn the witches.
What? Anyways, so Picard takes a long walk around the town or the area around the town, and he walks back and
he's looking for the holodeck wall so hard.
And just like all men, when they get angry and they just walk off and they stomp off in anger, they realize sooner or later they have to come home. So he comes home and his wife's there and she goes,
too bad he doesn't pick up the town drunk roll. Just like sleeps just on a park
sleep
bench,
on the streets,
park newspaper bench. And like a jug of whiskey or whatever that passes for whiskey on that planet.
That'd be great. That would be a great end to this story. He never wakes up. He's just a hobo for the rest of his life.
He can't make he can't contribute to the rocket if he's a hobo. This program could go so wrong if the wrong person is scanned.
I drank my brain cells into oblivion.
I want to see this episode, but Riker is that, oh no, or Geordi, because he's got no game. His wife just like leaves him because he's so gameless.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go. You're the worst.
That would be hilarious. I want to see the inner light with all the cast. Taking a turn.
Different versions. So when he comes home, his wife's like, you know, are you hungry? He's like, thirsty, tired, hungry, tired.
Exhausted.
Horny. Everything. So that was another thing is after he eats and she answers some of his questions, he realizes that they're married and she's like, you know, come to bed. He's like, no, no, I'll sleep on the sofa.
I'm sick. It wouldn't be fair to you.
Yeah, but no, she won't take no for an answer.
I want to ride that bald head tonight.
So Picard gets his first night of marital bliss. Anyways,
I don't think they slept together for 5 years.
Oh, come on. Why would you say that?
Just based on how like shitty and mean she is at that 5-year mark.
She wasn't shitty.
No, she wasn't. But she was like really snippy. And he's like, let's build a nursery because like I felt like that was his asking if it's okay if they have sex.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think you're wrong. Back on the Enterprise. Picard is in a coma, and obviously Riker's concerned, so he gets Beverly Crusher up there. So they come up and they find out that he has all this neurological activity going on, and Riker and Data aren't quite sure what will happen if they sever that the beam that's going to Picard.
Again, Worf's like, shoot it. Worf's solution, Starfleet answers.
I know.
They don't fit.
He's just a one-trick pony with that kind of stuff.
He just wants someone to Photoshop in that meme every single time Worf says something that they're like, no.
I know, it's hilarious. As you said, back in where in Picard world, 5 years has passed, and one of the administrator is coming to visit. And one of the things that we've kind of we get the very beginning of this when we first meet Batai is that there seems to be a drought going on. So, and now we're 5 years and the drought's still going on.
This is the longest drought on the record.
And Picard is looking into it using scientific methods.
I'm going to dig up some soil and see if it's got any bacteria in it.
Got some soil samples here.
This one tastes like tomato plant.
Zucchini in this one. So he decides he's going to meet with this administrative person from the region, and he's going to give his ideas to him. And he wants to build these large
atmospheric condensers.
Yeah, they're like going to take all the water and squeeze it out of the air.
Squeeze it.
Like a washcloth.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you know how much that's going to cost? That's crazy. And
my hands are the biggest hands.
We just get a giant washcloth and we hang it up over the town.
And we'll drip it on them. And I'll use my big hands and we'll bring it out.
These huge hands. Anyways, so from there, we back on the Enterprise, Geordi decides that he can follow where the alien probe's trail went to. So apparently the alien probe is
fossil, solid fuel? What's that?
Solid fuel, but they can follow it and they can take it back to its possible point of origin.
That's what Worf does in the bathroom. Solid fuel.
Solid jet fuel. And then we go back to Picard on his homeworld, and or not his homeworld, the world he's stuck in.
He's on the Settlers of Catan world.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what that's like.
Burnt, apparently.
Apparently very dry. It's very dry.
Maybe that's why it's called Settlers of Catan. It's like this world's dying and you're just trying to make the best of it.
It's so bad. I could just really use a drink right now, people. So they are having a naming ceremony for their second child, and they call it after their friend.
Batai. I was so sad. I forgot Pliers died.
Pliers died unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly. In between scenes.
Must have died of an atmospheric condenser accident.
It just fell over on him.
Oh my god!
Just his legs were sticking out and they curled up like the Wicked Witch.
It'd be hilarious if everything that Picard did in there just caused more and more havoc.
The Wizard of Oz, but in Star Trek world.
All these bad things happened because of Picard's ideas.
Mm-hmm. Poor Batai.
So this is when they decide they're going to try to sever Picard from the probe's beam. And once he does that, I keep on calling him his character, but the person he is, Kamen. Kamen?
Kamen.
Mm-hmm. He just kind of like faints.
He has a heart attack.
Back on the Enterprise, he's like basically seems like he's going into his seizures and he's like, you know, he's dying. And so they make Data reestablish the beam. They're like, do it now.
Turn it back on.
You idiots. I told you not to do this. It is funny every time that Beverly says, I wouldn't do that. And they're like, we need to.
We have to. There's no other option.
And Riker was getting pretty pushy, if you ask me. He's like, I can't leave him like this forever.
And then at the end, it's only been 20 minutes.
It's like... You know, like there's somebody just walking out of the bathroom now. They just walked out. It's like, did I miss anything?
What happened? It wasn't so, Worf, apparently, though.
Exactly. So now we're back on Picard Kamen's planet, and his daughter is all grown up. And she is kind of following her father's footsteps, and she's doing these scientific studies, and basically she's just like, you know,
this seems dirt like, tastes like dirt now.
The dirt's not doing too good. The dirt's pretty much dead. And then Picard mentions that he
filled her head with trivial things like dollies and toys and clothes.
Yeah, and games. She says, that guy, he's in love with you. You should see him more often. And she decides, you know, maybe I should marry sooner rather than later.
Yes, live life for the now. Don't wait.
And yeah, the world's dying. Fill it with your children.
Fill it with your children that'll die.
Back on the Enterprise, LaForge takes the alien probe's path back and finds that the star system where has been gone for 1,000 years. So it went supernova. So that's the outcome of the civilization.
It just got burnter and burnter.
It's a burnt up world. And now we go back to...
That's why you burn the bitches. I mean, the witches.
Burn the... Big, oh, gosh, you got me standing up. Kamen is now really old. And if we find out his son, which his son is actually played by Patrick Stewart's
son.
His actual son. So
he did the same thing in Blunt Talk. He played next to his son who played his son in that as well.
Was it the same guy?
Same son, yeah.
Oh, cool. Good for him. So he decides his son seems like he doesn't have a path, but he's this.
I thought he was going to come out as gay.
Dad, I like men.
Dad, remember the guy you named me for? He was kind of hot.
Pliers?
Yeah, Pliers.
You never met him. He finds out that he is wants to focus on his music. And strangely enough, Picard says, "Who am I to get in his way?
The world's going to die in a couple years anyway. We might as well be happy."
YOLO! So anyways...
YOLO.
That's 2000, like what, 15? YOLO?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, anyways. The next day, that same government administrator that kind of like dismissed him.
He looks like Grandpa from The Simpsons now.
He does. He looks terrible.
He looks just like Grandpa from The Simpsons. The makeup is so weird.
So bad.
And then Patrick Stewart looks like Ruafo from Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah, I guess he does a little bit.
He looks just like Ruafo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's giving him all the stuff like, we have to do something. You know, this world's dying. And finally, the government administrator says, look, we came up with the same conclusion 2 years ago. So we knew about this.
You're not as smart as you think you are, Kamen.
You ain't that smart. Jesus. Well, I'm working by myself and my daughter.
She's a remedial student. I got to teach her twice.
And my gay son who just plays the flute all day.
You know, he really plays the skin flute, right?
So in trouble. Okay. So anyways. back there, they're going to send some rockets up, and one of the things we find out is that they're going to go see a rocket launch, and Kamen Picard is with his grandson.
I didn't know nothing about a rocket launch. So in the previous scene, his wife dies. Then it cuts. And then it cuts. It's such a sad moment. And then because there's no commercials on Netflix or CBS All Access, it cuts to him being silly, like playing with his grandson, and it's a very awkward cut.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It does do that.
It plays weird without the commercial break. Commercial breaks
help
that scene a little bit because that
it
was so sad that it went to so silly. Like, whoa.
And I gotta say, him in his makeup is terrifying.
Yeah, he's pretty scary looking.
that little kid, that little baby kid that was acting,
he was probably frightened to death.
That is probably the bravest and best actor child you've ever met in your whole entire life. Like, that kid could take the ring to Mount Doom.
He should have played Anakin in the prequels.
I know. He's just...
If he could act that good, yeah.
It's literally terrifying.
He'd have been too old, though. Too old to be good in the training.
Too old. Anyways, then as they're going to go see the launch, all of a sudden we have this is your life moment where Bataille's there. Oh, you knew about the rocket.
You saw it before you came here.
Don't you remember?
It's so heart-wrenching at this part where everyone, like, they start appearing to him again.
And then, like, his wife shows up and she's not old anymore. She's young as she used to be.
She's not dead.
She's dead,
but she's, you know.
She's not a corpse.
Yeah.
No, she's in full form. back to her young self. And then we get their whole family gets together, and they basically say, "Yes, this is." You know, this is you have to tell the universe about who we are. This is kind of like our message in a bottle.
This is like a Little Shop of Horrors message in a bottle.
Little Shop of Horrors. Why?
It just this is like such traumatic. This is like almost as bad, if not worse, than O'Brien getting put in prison for 20 years.
Oh, right, right.
I mean, because it's the same thing, except he lived there for longer than 20 years. He also mm-hmm. had to like get attached to people, love them, see them die. And then it's like, oh, look, it only happened in 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though.
It's very interesting, but, like, it's mentally... I mean, that's just as mentally traumatic, if not more so, than what O'Brien had to go through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is... Well, we'll get into that in a second. But then he wakes up on the bridge, and he's kind of disorientated, but gets his head together. They bring
him... Oh, my God. Riker, how'd you grow your beard back so fast?
Weren't you in a dress last time I saw you? And then they bring the probe into the shuttle bay, and on board they find...
The skin flute. That's why Riker leaves so awkwardly.
He's like, I don't do that.
It's such a weird cut, because he's like... He just like scoots out of the room, doesn't say goodbye.
He like, looks at him like, knowingly like, I know what you're going to do with that.
He backs up. It's really reverent, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think he knew what happened. So why was he being, I don't know. It was a very strange beat. I mean, it was reverent, but it was also kind of like, why are you backing away? Like something's going to explode. Why would you give your captain a bomb?
He walks away.
No goodbye. No see you later. Just like, he just slowly backs away. Like, it's like the Simpsons back into the bush thing. It's like, I'm not going to be here anymore.
I know. I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I think I better go.
I'll be in the bunk.
He also brings us up to when he goes to, he talks about this, about what happened to him in a later episode. When he.
Lessons, right?
Yeah, when
he meets the girl with the roll-out piano.
Yeah, yeah. And they do the whole Tom Hanks big moment.
And they sing and dance together. And then he sends her on a mission where she could die, but she does it. And is like, maybe we shouldn't date now that I've got control over your life and death.
Anyway,
it's an awkward dating situation we're in right now.
So, yeah, I know. That always kind of puts a kibosh on the old romance when you send somebody to their death.
Pretty much.
So then after Riker leaves, Picard picks up the flute, and then he gives out a whopping solo, and the drums play, and the orchestra comes in.
Yes. Very good.
And it ends. That's Inner Light. It's a touching episode. Dave, what did you think about this episode, and how do you think this impacts Picard and maybe the future series, if at all?
I don't know. It's really interesting. Like this episode like makes me tear up like every time now. Like it's really sad, really touching, and then also like it's so traumatizing. Like I was just saying a few minutes ago, just having to live all that experience and then know it was just like, here, we just want you to tell people about this awful thing that just happened to you.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like they maybe programmed it poorly for wanting to spread that information, because that's heart-wrenching.
Yeah, but don't you think that maybe like a first-person account of a family and their experiences on the planet would give a better than just like, here's a history, a very dry history of our planet, and this is what we were, and this is what we did. Instead, you get like this, like, you know, this is real life, and this is how it happened to us, and this is the impact it happened.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting take on it, and it is... It is a good thing, so you're getting that point of view without just an expositional dump. But at the same time, that's just like hard on the heart, and it like it is. It's sucky to have happen to you, and like see, and like you know, Pat Picard's a character we care about and really enjoy and love, and seeing him, like, go through that. He's already been a Borg. He's already killed tens of thousands of his, you know, colleagues.
How much can one man go through, sir? How much can you drag me through the mud?
He's had so much bad things happen to him. And, you know, I did rewatch the trailer, because I watched the episode with Kaylee today, and, She was like, so they're making a show about Picard? Is it like a throwback thing? I'm like, no, it's a continuation. So I watched the trailer with her, and it's just like, you know, seeing Seven of Nine, and it just after seeing this episode and you know, having to, he had to adapt to a home that wasn't his on the planet of Catan, and then he had to readapt to being home again in, you know, back on the Enterprise, and in the trailer, he says something very specifically like, I've tried this for 20 years and it's never felt like home. Like, he's been shifted around so much, I don't think anything's going to feel like home to him anymore. And I think that line is very poignant in the trailer, especially after this episode, because it's just like, he's been shifted around so much. He was, you know, a Borg for a little while, so that was sort of a home for him. I mean, it wasn't very long, but I mean, like, once you're like, your mind is contorted to that, it's sort of home. I mean, Seven of Nine, since she was in it her whole life, she didn't even want to be called Annika. So, I mean, like, it's just that it does something to your brain. And that's, it's fascinating. And like, so that was a home for him. Starfleet was a home for him. Yeah. The Vineyard was a home for him, sort of growing up, you know, all these different places. And he's tried to get back to his roots and he just can't because of all these traumatic things that have happened to him. So I think that's super interesting. This episode, maybe more so than any of the other ones, except for maybe Best of Both Worlds, how it might tie in, because his feeling of home is shattered. And this experience has probably helped shatter that feeling of home.
Go ahead.
And just because he's also lived a whole life where he's gotten married and done all this stuff like that, so he doesn't feel that need anymore to do that, maybe.
I find it interesting. It's, I think our last episode when we talked about Conundrum, Holly took it as the erasing of your past would free you. And you're taking this as the message from this family as a huge burden.
Oh, I think it is. I mean, having to, you're the only remaining part of this lost thing, and then so they burn to death in a supernova, and his real family burned to death in a fire.
Yeah,
lots of parallels.
True. Yeah,
it kind of sucks. I mean, like, especially after the traumaticness of your actual family dying to a fire, and then remembering back to your life you lived where they all died in a supernova. That's just that's a lot of baggage, and that's a lot of pain.
Well, Picard definitely has a lot of baggage. I'm just, you know, thankfully his second command is a counselor, so probably helped him get through a lot
Riker's
of stuff.
Riker's a counselor?
No, second command. The second. She's number two.
She is?
Yeah.
Riker's number two.
No, he's number one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, she does get upgraded to commander.
No, but I mean, if you watch the first Farpoint episode, he calls Riker number one and Troy number two.
Really? So Data's behind Troy. That's interesting.
I don't know after that. It kind of like went away. But
Data's third officer.
Yeah, I mean, he was later on for sure. I don't know what it was in the beginning. So my thought is, too, is that I do notice, I mean, I do perceive the burden of taking in this information and living with it and knowing that all this did happen and you experienced it as if it was really happening, like it was all like happening in real time. And, but my only thought is it's a gift. If you could be given a life and you can look back and see everything that happened to someone with the wonders of life and also the tragedies that happen, that, you know, you learn a lot from it. It's a huge experience. And maybe not at first, it probably was probably pretty hard for him to digest and get his head around. But I would believe later on he would use it as a source of experience and strength.
as something to work with.
Yeah, I can definitely see it that way too. But still, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, where it's a little bit of both, where it's like a super pain, but it's also a source of strength as well, because you usually grow from your pain and your experience.
I need my pain. I love that we both went to that.
Exactly.
But no, I agree, and I think, like anything, we in our lives, we will always face something that is stressful or heartbreaking or any of those things put together. And at the beginning, it's raw, and that nerve hurts every time you touch it. But over time, you know, you learn, you know, from those experiences, and somehow maybe it's not as bad the next time, or maybe it's you have a better understanding when things, you know, tragedies or hard things happen.
Have you rewatched the Picard trailer though recently? Because I watched it right after the episode, and I haven't
watched it like this week or anything like that. No.
I just thought that the reason I'm going so hard on the burden angle is because that he's just like, I've tried to live like this and I can't. It doesn't feel like home. 20 years and it still doesn't feel like home.
Well, he never wanted to be on that vineyard. I don't know why he went back to that vineyard.
I don't know, but I mean that's true.
I mean, he. I mean, when we talk about the episode family, you know, he basically was like, I just couldn't wait to get out of here. You know, he might have loved his home, but it wasn't where he wanted to be. He wanted to be anywhere but there. So he wanted to be, you know, Starfleet Academy on starships and, you know, doing whatever.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I get that, but I mean, maybe he needed to go back. I mean, because supposedly some tragedy happened, some armada or whatever he led that they reference in the original teaser.
Right.
Like, was failed or something. So,
right.
So something bad enough happened for him to want to leave Starfleet. So, I mean, like, I don't know. My problem with a lot of how they've been rebooting stuff is like the transition to where things are seems way more interesting than where they are currently, because the Countdown comic that bridges, you know, Nemesis and the reboot movie with all the stuff that happens with Spock and Nero and Captain Picard, that was a great story. I would have loved to see that on the big screen instead of the 2009 movie, because that was a really interesting story.
Yeah.
You know, like the stuff that they're doing with Star Wars too, like the prequels, and how, like, I mean, they haven't really explained anything that's happened in the past between 6 and 7. To me, that's more interesting because things feel stagnant where they are. I want the story in between, not what's happening now. You know, it just feels like all this stuff that's happening, and it seems like they're doing the same thing with Picard. There's going to be a comic, I think, and a novel tie-in.
Really?
I think it might be just one or the other. But it might be both. They're doing like a prequel in comic and book form, or one or the other. And it just seems weird that these really interesting parts are like supplemental and not the main focus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And
right,
it just seems like everything is doing that now, where it's like, here's what we're going to give you, but then the super interesting stuff, we're going to relegate it to the select few who decide to read the comic or read the novel.
Yeah,
this is probably a better story than what they're actually going to show. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it may not be, but in the case of Star Trek and Star Wars, it might have been. Or at least with the reboot movie. Because the only one I've gotten concrete on is the Countdown, because that was a great story. I really enjoyed that.
Well, we liked the nitty-gritty. We liked the nuanced stuff, too. So a lot of times the mass audiences don't like that kind of stuff, and they just want to see things blow up, and they want to see, you know, cool bad guys and, you know, all that stuff. They don't want to see any of the real story, or they're not that interested in it. You know, where we want to see all the dots connect.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I do wonder. I mean, maybe he's referencing this. I don't know, but I mean, there is a slight reference in the Picard trailer where they have the flute playing the Star Trek theme. Very end. I mean, it's obviously a callback to this. I mean, with obviously a Star Trek theme.
So many callbacks to previous episodes, and I'm really surprised they're doing the Hugh thing, because Hugh isn't in the trailer as far as I'm aware. And there's so many callbacks in this Picard thing. I just I just wonder if it's too much. I don't know.
If they can, here's the thing. If they can successfully tell the story without going into a whole diatribe of everything that happened before, you know, if they could just kind of gloss over, yeah, Hugh is this guy, you know, he rescued him from the Borg and he was freed from the collective or something like that, you know, and then, but, you know, we are going to be geeking out because we know who Hugh is.
Yeah, but it seems like so much, and like it's a limited run series. They're saying 3 seasons, maybe. I mean, it all depends on how well it does, but I think I originally said they're planning for 4. I think after I read that, I found that it was originally planning for 3. That's what Patrick Stewart was hoping for, a 3-season run on this. But I think they're also short seasons, like 10 episodes, where I think Discovery was like 15 then 14. So this is going to be a shorter season than Discovery.
Right.
And, it sounds like they're trying to shoehorn a lot of stuff in here. Romulans, Borg, 7 of 9, Data, Hugh, Riker, Troy, a brand new crew. That's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure.
And not a lot of time to do it. So I really hope there's like a laser focus on the story.
Yeah, not some side character that, you know, we're not going to really care, you know, Tyler.
a Harry Mudd episode that did nothing for the series.
Yeah,
it was exactly. It was really one of the better episodes of the series, if you like think about it in a Star Trek way, but just it didn't serve the story.
Didn't serve the story at all,
and,
no.
And that's most of what concerns you about the new Star Trek is that they're limited runs because they're not 20-something episodes like they used to be. They've got a limited time to tell a story. They're trying to tell a connected, cohesive story, but then they do one-offs or the story changes because the writing hands changed. So, yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard of any huge shakeups with Picard, so hopefully Picard is straight and narrow as far as the story goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so far it seems like they're running a tight ship for once. Maybe there's a bunch of other shit happening that we won't find out for way later.
Who knows?
Yeah, but we don't know. And, it's very veiled right now. Everything that's happening right now in CBS, their studios and All Access. So we don't know a lot what's happening. We only hear hearsay and most of it's very dubious.
Yeah, and you know, you can't trust everything you hear on the internet and on the YouTubes and everything, so I try to, like, take most of those people who quote-unquote have sources with a grain of salt. I do try to follow them just so I can hear what they're saying, but I don't give them a lot of stock.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I hear things, I listen to videos or I listen to podcasts, and they might, you know, slam things, and I'm just like, yeah, but you're saying a source, but I, you know, what is that source, and how do we know that source is actually
legitimate,
you know,
yeah.
Legitimate, and they actually know what they're talking about. I don't know. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how this all works out. Strangely enough, what do you think, Picard's old man makeup or how Picard or Patrick Stewart looks now? What's better?
Well, he looks way better now. He doesn't look like Ruafo in real life.
I know,
which is amazing.
It's pretty crazy.
He didn't have his face stretched in that fun face stretching machine that the Sona used. Was the Sona the bad guys in that one? I mean, I know they're the same race, but they called them 2 different things. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, it's been a long time, yeah. What did you think of one of the things I enjoyed quite a bit about this episode was the village setting. I thought it looked really cool. I thought they had like a lot of little neat details just to make it look, you know, it's homey, but it's also, you know, it looks different.
Yeah, it's they did a really great job with that set. I loved the tree because they're planting it the first time you see it. It's a little bit bigger the second time you see it. The third time you see it, it's even bigger. The fourth time, it's dead.
Yeah,
it's like gone. A skeleton. Yeah.
There's nothing left.
It's still there, but it's just like a withered Hulk. And they did a great job with that. Like, and they only mention the tree like in the first 2 times you see it, and then it's just background dressing that they keep, you know, showing you and showing the passage of time. They did a really great job with it. The sets and everything was super great. It was funny they didn't age Kanan's wife until like the third time you saw her.
Yeah. I saw that. The one thing I thought was funny was, remember when he first comes home after he's wandering and she gives him that soup?
Yeah, it's got like a, that lid's got like a horn on it.
Yeah, she has like that like crock pot she opens up and she serves him. Like later on, like
it's still there.
When he's old man, it's still there. Like, man, that's an old crock
that
pot.
Is
I don't know any
ancient crock pot.
I don't know a crock pot that lasts that long.
I just got the same brand because my wife used it. It reminded me of the first time she gave me stew.
I know, I know.
It's the only thing they sell at Space Walmart.
It's just it was a little thing. It's funny, but I like little weird details of like I don't know if there was writing or just symbolism that they had. You know, like very like square looking, like geometric winding shapes. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really neat. And
I
loved
how the doctor, whenever she's dying, the doctor's he's got like one of Dr. Crusher's med packs, but they just stuck one of those hieroglyphic squares on it, just like velcroed it on.
Also, I was thinking about just that scene too, where she like waves him away, the doctor away, and like the
son,
doctor
go
gets
away.
Up.
I've got to tell sensitive things to my husband.
It was funny. He's like, he just sees it, but she like waves so like it's like such a small wave. Like, how would he even see that from where he was standing? It's like, that's your cue to get the hell out of the scene.
She's also flipping him off as soon as the camera moved. So
you fucking asshole! You killed me!
You killed me!
You said you were a good doctor. You're not even accredited in this province.
You're a dentist.
Dentists aren't doctors.
What are you doing to me? I didn't say my teeth hurt. I'm dying from lung failure.
Anyways, it's just little things like that in the scene that I thought was funny. But it is one of those, I don't know anybody who sees this and go like, oh, whatever. You know, most people are like, that's a really good episode. It's very touching.
It's a really good episode. It's super touching and it's super, it gets you. I mean, like, yeah, Kaylee, she was just like that lady. Like, she wasn't a fan of his wife at first.
Aww. Always putting away shoes, obsessed with shoes.
Their last words is like, put your shoes away, you old bastard.
You loud.
And then she said it was a good episode, but she's just like, wow, that's really hard. It's like a really crappy thing to have to do to someone. And it really is. And so I told her about the O'Brien episode, too, where that was basically his punishment, living 20 years in a prison and 20 minutes. I mean, it's just as traumatizing, I think.
Yeah, but it's a prison. I mean, at least he's living a life with family and loved ones.
On a planet that's dying, it's dying a slow death. Everyone around you is going to die. That's sort of, like, worse.
Well, it didn't go, like, totally post-apocalyptic. That would have been interesting if it kind of, like, had this, like, Walking Dead aspect at the end of it, where they're, like, all, like, rotting, like, was it Mad Max or something?
Yeah,
that'd be kind of interesting if it took that turn.
It's what happens after the rocket shoots off. We've got technology now. they just we don't want to show you this part of our history. We want to show you the good parts.
Show you the good parts before it all went to shit.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be great if it was all Mad Max after that.
That's what Riker would have done. He would have turned into Mad Max world.
That's why that little kid wasn't scared of his grandfather, because he seemed way worse when he looked outside his town.
When Worf was there.
What the fuck is that?
I love that, like, he even referenced that Picard was still taking long walks, even, like, years and years later. He's still looking for the holodeck walls.
Right, yeah. Where
Arch,
is the
wall? Computer, Arch!
Computer, Arch.
Computer, where's Moriarty? Maybe he can get me out of this.
I know. You know, it'd be funny if I found Moriarty's little box that he's trapped in.
My computer, my Alexa wasn't sure about Moriarty.
Why would it do?
It said, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I was asking that computer, show me the arch.
Show me the arch. Yeah, so anyway, so this is a great episode. I don't know if they'll really work this into maybe other than seeing the flute itself.
Well, they showed the Captain Picard Day thing, so is that a flashback, or what's going on with that? It seems kind of strange they showed the Captain Picard Day banner.
Yeah.
So there's lots of, like, there's so many callbacks, but I mean, it might be, like, one of those, like, trailers where you don't have enough to show, so they just showed a bunch of random stuff, just to, like, fill up time in the trailer.
It's possible, without using the actor and stuff like that.
Because, like, the Data thing, I mean, a lot of people have kind of complained about that, where it seems, like, unfinished CGI.
Maybe. It looks odd, yeah. It does look odd.
So maybe it's just unfinished.
Right.
You know what I mean? They just, like, did a rough pass, and they're like, oh, that's good enough for a trailer.
I think Brett Spiner is
like in his almost in his 70s, or he is in his 70s now.
Yeah, he's not young. He's not a young whippersnapper.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, we're lucky to still have him acting and it's not retired.
Yeah, at all, you know. Yeah, for sure. Oh, I mean, Patrick Stewart's even older.
Oh, absolutely.
And William Shatner's still acting, and he's even older than Patrick Stewart. Although Patrick Stewart's like, I think they're less than 10 years apart.
Yeah, no, they're very much closer, but, you know.
So it's funny, it could have been Patrick Stewart as Kirk, and then William Shatner as Picard. That would have been so weird.
Oh my God.
Since they're not that, their age difference isn't that huge.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have that been crazy?
It would have been weird. It's just that I think Shatner will keep acting until he can't move his legs or mouth anymore.
He will die on camera.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. There's no job he won't take.
Unless he dies in his sleep, Shatner will probably die on camera.
Yeah,
pretty much. I have little doubt of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or en route to a set or something.
Basically, like I don't think he'll just die like randomly. I think he'll either be on set or on the way to a set.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, where, you know, Patrick Stewart will, you know, be in a very posh house.
Yes.
And living a very good life when he finally passes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you watch the captains, the interview where Patrick or William Shatner went on interviewing all the captains, Patrick Stewart's house was pretty posh, and so were his socks.
I don't remember the socks. I remember his house.
He had this really big house and the really big socks.
Really big socks. Those socks are huge.
And then Avery Brooks was insane.
Avery Brooks is just nuts, yeah. I wonder if he was just fucking with Shatner or what, but it was the weirdest interview I've ever seen.
It was so bizarre.
Well, anything else we want to say about this before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. This is a fantastic episode. We did talk about this a long time ago in the past. I'm hoping this one was a superior run through it.
Well, those are our younger years.
Well, I mean, we've aged and gotten experience, so hopefully this one was a little bit better.
We have. I think we've matured a bit. We're more seasoned.
Seasoned podcasters. Spicy.
Spicy space seeds.
Ooh. That's an old one and a goodie. That's also really old one.
That's probably right around the same time.
Probably.
But no need to look it up.
These aren't the podcasts we're talking about.
Don't tell anybody about that we run a podcast. What are
you looking for?
Don't tell anybody that we run a podcast here.
No, I don't think so. I just think the talk of home and not being able to accept it was very poignant. Watching the trailer again right after this, I'm excited for the next trailer on Picard, so we can see what more is going on. More what the story is going to be. It seems very Borg centric. I wonder if that's just like a setup, and they're going to change directions like as soon as they're out the gate. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
IMDb only shows Jerry Ryan for one episode. I hope that's not the case. Mm-hmm, I hope she's a main character in the show and shows up like every episode, because I don't know. She's my favorite. She's
your favorite?
From Voyager, her and the Doctor.
Oh, Voyager. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always thought the Doctor was your favorite.
The Doctor is my favorite, but the only reason she's not my number one is because she's only in half the series. The Doctor was...
Yeah, that's a good point.
The Doctor was a constant. If Seven of Nine was in every single episode like the Doctor was, she'd probably be my favorite by far, but she's only in half the episode, so it's... You know, there's a trade-off there, but she's definitely the second favorite character in Voyager, probably.
Yeah.
And, I think Robert Picardo is even supposed to make a cameo in Picard... So
really,
that'd be great.
That would be cool.
I think my dad told me something that he's supposed to show up in there. So I'm like, that'd be great. I'd love to see the Doctor.
He's just walking through the scene somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know, they could easily say, oh, I'm just aging appropriately for my peers, and once they're all dead, I'll just reset my age. It'd be such an easy thing for them to do. So like, he wouldn't even have to like de-age him or anything as a hologram. Right. He's like, I'll just, you know, I'll age with my peers, and then once all my peers who on Voyager are dead, I'll just reset.
That's fine. A good point.
They could that's a simple throwaway line that, you know, that's why the holograms changed. He added, he's always tinkering with his program, so they could do anything, really, to explain away him looking older and not have to artificially de-age him.
Right, right, right. Yeah, no, you could do that for sure.
Yeah, so it would be great to have him back because I love Robert Picardo.
No, it would
so
be
many
cool.
callbacks they could do. Just as long as Admiral Janeway's in jail, it'd be great if she's in.
Put her in chains.
Make her the cook in the restaurant.
Oh, jeez.
I wish Neelix was here.
I
shouldn't have left him in the Delta Quadrant. I should have told him, no, you can't stay. She was a jerk to everyone else. Why not make him stay?
I don't know.
They did the whole thing where everyone's standing in the hallways, like, watching him disembark.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
He got this great send-off. It's like, we're like one of the least liked characters on the show.
I hated Neelix so bad.
Me too.
He was There's not nothing. Afraid. Just make him go away. Just like Jar Jar Binks.
they did make him go away. He stayed in the Delta Quadrant.
Just stay on your side of the galaxy, please. Okay, well, let's wrap it up, Dave. Let's get this. We'll do next episode. We'll be talking about Chain of Command, Part 1 and 2.
Whip it. Show me that whip chain.
Whip it good.
Jellicoe yes. whips it good.
So bring your lights. And
bring your cleavage blouse cover all things. So because he doesn't like the cleavage.
No cleavage.
He tells her to wear a regular uniform.
Yeah.
She can't have casual every days.
Denim every day.
Poor Troy.
Fucking Jellicoe.
He ruined a great character.
He did. Anyway, so thank you for tuning in. A couple things we can just say before we send off. Obviously, you're listening to us, but you can find us at Synthaholics.com. As Dave said before, you can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. Definitely let us know if you're interested in a Star Trek webcomic. Maybe me and Dave can get that ball rolling.
Turn that again. Back on again.
Turn that switch on again. Also, if you can, please consider donating, like I said, to the old Podcast Shack. You can go to patreon.com/Synthaholics. That's a great way just to throw a buck or if more, you know, to help us out with the show.
A new one called patreon.com/Podcast Shack.
The Podcast Shack.
there probably is one. Don't look at that one.
Yeah, don't look at that one. We don't want you to look at that one. Just ours. And we also please go to our Facebook group and join us there. Chime in, say hi. We post things all the time, funny little memes, stories.
My Last Jedi meme got a ton of traction. It got 5 likes and like 200 comments.
No, Last Jedi you got to be careful. That's
stepping on toes.
That's like tap dancing in a podiatrist, you know, office or something like that. You know,
tap dancing on Bataille's grave.
Yeah, things are going to happen. Yeah, Bataille's grave.
I added more fuel to that flame with that video I put on there last night. Although it's a very fascinating video. Looking at it from a
I watched the video. I thought it was interesting. I thought it's made some good points. I, as you know, if anybody's heard,
comparing Star Wars to a religion is very fascinating, and it's very apt actually.
And if anybody's heard our review of Last Jedi. You know, we've had some grievances with it. We're not like haters for different people. Sometimes hate it for other reasons. We just didn't think the story was good, and things could have been much better. But
I think on Synthaholics, story is king. And if the story is subpar, we just kind of like we get a little upset. It's just like, where's the story? I mean, like it's half the reason why a movie should exist is for the story.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're getting paid to write a good script, it better be a damn good script.
I hope so. Yeah.
And then also, please, you can email us. I mean, not email us. You can tweet us, too. If you can find us at Synthaholics Duo is our
the show's Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm. Twitter handle. I'm at Blackbird2004. Dave's at David_J_Duncan. And Holly is Lunar Thistle. So, you know, shoot us a tweet, find us out there. You can follow us and retweet us. That's a great way to also just help out the show, you know, repost our shows, you know, let other people know. As Dave said also, you know, if you want to put us on Reddit too, that'd be a great way just to get people to notice the show as well.
Let people know we exist. Chime in, like, look for Synthaholics on Reddit and chime in on those couple guys that said really nice things about us. And we've responded to them at least once on there. So it was really nice that people said we were like the underground Star Trek podcast that they wish more people would listen to, because they said that David and Aaron were hilarious. So
we're funny sometimes.
We hope so.
All the time, but not when I'm crying.
Holly doesn't think we're very funny sometimes.
Sometimes she gets aggravated for sure. Also, like, if all those things, if you're unable to do, like I always say, share the show, let other people know about the show, let your roommate know, let your boyfriend know, let their classmate knows, or your mom or dad, about the podcast. Some people aren't even introduced to, they don't even know a podcast exists.
Yeah, some people don't even know, and they could be experiencing so much joy.
Yeah, I mean, me and Dave have been in the podcast world for so long now, I can't even imagine not having podcasts in my life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Last Podcast on the Left, I've been listening to The Story Must Be Told, mm-hmm. which is also through the Last Podcast Network. That's very strange and very interesting.
All good stuff. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of great stuff. And, you know, we enjoyed that doing podcasting. We're happy that people are out there listening to us as well. So hopefully you're getting some decent content from us.
Oh, we definitely hope so. And again, check out the Facebook group. We've gotten so much traction this year more than any other year. And so this is our fourth going on fifth year running the show. Mm-hmm. And we're finally starting to get some really good responses and more people chiming in and getting into the discussion on the Facebook group. So I encourage more of you to jump on there. It's never been a better time.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, like I said, next episode, Chain of Command.
We'll pick good.
And we will get Holly back, hopefully, and we'll have some fun talking about...
Is Guy going to join us?
I'm going to try to get Guy on because I think he had some grievances about this, and I think I'd love to hear everything he had to say.
I did warn him that you would be asking about Chain of Command, so hopefully he's free.
Did you warn him about the nudes I sent him to?
Oh, no, I didn't. You didn't tell me about that till just now.
Oh, well, he'll be getting them.
Oh, full frontal.
Full frontal.
From your time in the woods.
watch out, Guy.
Do you have a private Patreon that he pays you?
Yeah, just me and him. It's called email.
Ooh.
All right. Saucy. Well, for that saucy news and everything else to come with Picard, please tune in to next episode. All right, Dave, as you always say to our audience,
live long and prosper, one and all.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
We got to enter light again.
Again, one more time.
And we still had more things to say about it, which was great.
Yeah, I don't. You know,
I didn't re-listen to it to hear what I said before, so.
I'm not really interested in what I have to say. No, I looked it up and I was like, I kind of thought we talked about this a long time ago. It was like I said, episode 29 or something crazy like that. Man, what happened to that guy? He just kind of fell off the map. You still there?
All by myself, all by myself.